Hello, and welcome to the August 2018 InfoTech Threat Landscape Briefing. My name is Jessica Ireland, and I am the director in our Security and Threat Intelligence practice. I will be facilitating today's briefing. During today's discussion, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity, threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and threat actor exploits and tactics. Our cybersecurity section covers high-level topics such as threat trends, data breaches, control strategies, and exposure to vulnerabilities that act to broaden your understanding of the cybersecurity impact on your business. Our threat actor campaign section covers topics related to nation-states, cybercriminals, hacktivists, and more, orchestrating campaigns designed to compromise networks and exfiltrate sensitive data. Our regulatory compliance and legal section covers trends in the global regulatory and legal landscape with the potential to impact compliance adherences or disrupt business operations. And lastly, our exploitation and tactics section provides information related to the tools, tactics, and exploits threat actors are leveraging in their attack campaigns. Today's briefing will be supported by myself, consulting analysts Michelle Tran and Logan Rohde, and senior consulting analyst Ian Mulholland. During today's briefing, we will cover topics related to the worst cybersecurity breaches in 2018 so far, the Liberty Holdings breach, five state and city privacy policies, are we ushering in a new era of privacy law, and threats the healthcare industry should be aware of. Let's begin. '18 has already been rife with breaches. If the first half of the year is any indicator, we still haven't gotten ahead of attackers, and there's likely more to come. Starting with Russians attacking critical infrastructure. Last year, there were hints that Russia was trying to infiltrate U.S. power grids. Even after NotPetya happened, the U.S. had yet to confirm Russia's actions, until this year, where they confirmed that Russia was responsible for grid hacking. In January, Jason's Deli was hacked. A mom-and-pop-owned shop was targeted, which shows that you don't have to be a major company to be a target. Their point-of-sale consoles were hacked to gain customers' credit card information. It's reported that nearly 2 million cards were affected. In March, Under Armour was attacked. Their app, MyFitnessPal, was hacked, affecting 150 million users. The company's shares dropped 3.8% as a result of that attack. Number four, Saks Fifth Avenue, Lord & Taylor Shops, in April. On April Fool's Day, the stores announced that attackers had seized the credit card info of 5 million customers. According to the Gemini advisory firm, 125,000 of those cards have been released for sale. Lastly, Chili's in May, which we also covered in our June briefing. This breach actually occurred between March and April, although it was then later realized in May. Those were just a few of the attacks that have happened in the first couple of months of this year. There are many, many more. Next up, we'll be keeping an eye on VPN Filter, a malware attack from Russia. According to Wired magazine, this attack has already affected 500,000 plus routers. The purpose is to take advantage of networks, steal data, and monitor activity. Symantec does offer a VPN Filter check tool to determine if your router is affected. It's only a matter of time before the next major breach happens. And hopefully, we'll be able to learn some lessons from them. But it appears that right now, more attacks are happening faster than we can respond.
Liberty Holdings, one of South Africa's biggest insurance companies, was hacked in mid-June. Liberty was alerted of the network intrusion on June 14th and informed customers of the hack 2 days later through emails, texts, and media statements on Twitter and Facebook. Parties responsible for the attack demanded ransom. However, Liberty quoted that they had made no concessions in the face of this attempted extortion. Currently, there is an ongoing investigation being led by IT and forensic experts to determine the nature of the breach and those that are responsible for the hack. Limited details are available. However, David Monroe, the CEO of Liberty, has assured customers that the breach has largely entailed emails and that there is no evidence of financial losses to customers. While little details have been released from Liberty, Andrew Chester, Managing Director of Yukivuma Cybersecurity, has analyzed the hack and concluded that the breach was most likely orchestrated from insider information. That is, the incident was either an inside job or done by compromising company credentials to gain access to the systems. Chester has suggested that such instances can be easily avoided by ensuring that sensitive data is encrypted to mask the content of messages, networks are segregated to limit communication throughout the network and the options available for access, and that access control be rigorously monitored across all data handling platforms to scout out for unusual activity.
The General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, has been in full swing for a little over 2 months now, which in the tech world would seem to make it old news. However, GDPR continues to be a hot topic, and this regulation from the European Union is now influencing laws in the US. According to an RSA study, the majority of people are growing increasingly aware of how organizations handle, store, and process consumer data, and the outrage after the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal and Equifax's massive data breach shows just how seriously people are taking the issues of data privacy and security these days. U.S. lawmakers have responded by introducing new laws to govern acceptable data handling practices and what needs to be done in the event of a breach. In today's tech-savvy world, sharing personal data online is nearly unavoidable. So these new laws help to return some sense of assurance to consumers, who often have little choice but to trust that organizations will handle their data responsibly. None of these local or state laws are quite as comprehensive as the GDPR, but they all seem to be crafted in its spirit. Many states have now expanded their definition of personally identifiable information to include things like email addresses and usernames, as well as imposing a reporting window in which organizations must notify stakeholders of a data breach. California's new data law bears the closest similarity to the GDPR, as it grants citizens the right to know what data is being collected, as well as the right to have such information be forgotten by the company that collected it. However, Chicago is considering a bylaw that in some ways one-ups California's law. Although it is not yet official, Chicago City Council is considering a law that would allow data collection on users only if they expressly opted into a data collection program. Colorado's law is more modest, focusing mainly on ensuring data protection protocols are in place, but it does expressly state that organizations must have written policies pertaining to the disposal of personal information, which is likely to help prevent such information from ending up in the wrong place. Iowa has introduced a somewhat unique law aimed at protecting students. This law restricts the sharing of data collected from online services marketed to school-aged youth. And lastly, Vermont's law seeks to increase the accountability of organizations who buy and sell data by having them register with the state's attorney general, making them pay a registration fee, and submit an annual report regarding privacy protocols and data breach statistics. As our lives become more completely integrated with online services, the need for governance around data collection and sharing practices is quickly increasing. Because the world of big data is still relatively new, not all the rules of the game have been well defined. So it's important to watch these debates carefully. Whether you're in the data collection business or just a private citizen who simply uses online services, it would be wise to know what is and isn't allowed going forward. In light of this, it is a good idea to consider having your organization become GDPR compliant. The GDPR is the most comprehensive data privacy law to date, so if you're set to comply with it, you should be in good shape for most of the other data laws that are expected to pop up over the next few years. Since the GDPR is written to apply to all EU citizens, regardless of where they live or where their data is collected, most large and many small organizations are required to become compliant with it anyway. The compliance deadline has passed, but better late than never, especially since data privacy and security laws seem to be here to stay. Want to know more? Be sure to check out these great resources from InfoTech by following the links above. Both will help move you and your organization towards meeting various compliance obligations, current and future.
2018 continues to see the desperate struggle between the healthcare industry and cybercriminals. With healthcare being a lucrative target for cyber attacks, it is no surprise that this industry has remained top of mind for cybercriminals. To fight back, the healthcare industry has been ramping up both their awareness of cybersecurity and the amount of spend given to the security department to employ protective technologies. Specifically, Cybersecurity Ventures predicts that the spending of this industry globally will increase beyond $65 billion by 2021. Unfortunately, cybercriminals are responding with more creative attacks that are not yet on the radar of most healthcare IT personnel. This threat briefing serves to highlight several of them so that the correct protective measures can occur.
Fortinet has identified four new types of threats that should be known to healthcare IT personnel. Number one, fileless malware variants. Cybercriminals are skipping over trying to get a malicious executable onto a victim machine's hard drive and are instead leveraging tools that already exist on the target machine in order to infect the machine's RAM. This technique allows malware to go largely undetected, for nothing is ever written to disk. Some forms of this malware will disappear once the computer is rebooted. However, the malware could install itself into the auto-run registry settings, another volatile system area, to ensure that the malware continues to run even after a system reboot. Number two, crypto mining malware. This type of malware seeks to mine cryptocurrency by taking CPU resources from infected machines. These crypto mining botnets can earn a cybercriminal more than $30,000 per month, according to a report from Kaspersky Labs. This malware infects machines by injecting exploits into browsers, or moves in a worm-like fashion across servers and other devices. Keep an eye out for a worm called WannaMine, a piece of malware that moves like the infamous WannaCry, but with a different goal in mind. Number 3. Persistent exploits. System reboots are no longer sufficient. With attacks becoming more persistent, the network will require proper cleaning to remove the malware completely. According to Fortinet, these cybercriminals are leveraging scheduled tasks, service replacement, auto-start extensibility points, and DLL search order to preserve the malware after attempts to remove it have taken place. Number 4. Designer attacks. These are the malware version of spear phishing attacks. Cybercriminals are doing their research on specific targets and are developing sophisticated attacks that leverage identified vulnerabilities within the known systems of the organization. New threats can be difficult to predict, detect, and prevent. However, there are activities that an organization can do beyond strengthening their cybersecurity foundations. Consider comparing the organization's current controls against real-world documented attack scenarios. This will give insight into the security posture of the organization. Fortinet has identified that nonprofit Meter Corporation has released a database of the details behind the different ways hackers have infected systems. The link to this matrix is on the presentation slide.
This concludes our monthly threat briefing. If you have any questions or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us to set up an analyst call.